Let me pray, and then I will keep going in the talk here. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the air conditioning that you notice so much when you step into a different room. It's a blessing to have it. Thanks for everybody who showed up here in person and online, and I pray that your voice will speak a loud message of hope today, because there's been a lot of heavy stuff happening to our Wyoming Harbor family, and I pray that in Jesus' name, Lord, today will be a moment of healing as we embrace just a lot of tough stuff. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I always got to have a weird different cup, don't I, Mike? This one's from Fort Myer. Okay. One of my favorite movies as a kid was The Newsies. Has anybody ever seen that movie before? Yep, it's the best. I can sing like every song in that movie. I think second favorite musical is probably Mary Poppins. Yeah, how am I doing? Pretty good. I guess this is probably the moment I need to admit, everybody. Drum roll, please. You don't, okay, good, thank you. I like musicals. I like to go to musicals, too. I have been in a musical. I was in one as a kid, and it was called Anne Sylvania. Mom knows it. She's nodding. I was a dragon called D.F. Dragonfly. And I looked something like this, although this picture is me like 10 years after that. I mean, that's not me as a child, don't be ridiculous. That's me as a full-grown man I think that's a grasshopper outfit. But yeah, that's a great picture of my life in one photo. But I was the swindling dragonfly that was trying to tempt the ant, who was my friend Zach, from staying on the right path. And I sang in that musical. I dressed up like a dragonfly, and I sang. I think that was my finest moment, everybody. You might be surprised by this, though. It was, like, painful for me. My mom knows how bad I acted in that play. For whatever reason, it wasn't my, like, expression. I love artistic expression, but I found that the theater was maybe not my thing, which I guess I'm kind of doing a little bit of theater every time I'm up here and I make my dad jokes and hope that they work, but that kind of theater was just not my thing. And I think for many people, church kind of feels like a musical that you don't fit into. It's a costume that doesn't fit anymore. It's one of those people is a man named Victor Hugo. Does anybody know who Victor Hugo is? I knew Aubrey would know. I knew you'd be like all, because you're like, I think we've talked about Les Mis before. By the way, what do you do with the S's when you say, Les Miserables? Somebody, how do you say it? Les Miserables? Okay. I'm not trying to be funny, I just can't say it. I don't know where the S's go, but you're probably familiar with that musical before. You've maybe seen it, and it's one of the most famous musicals of all time. Victor Hugo is the guy that wrote that. He actually wrote The Hunchback of Notre Dame, too, so kind of a good playwriter. But when he was young, he was a devoted Catholic in his early life, but then became like detested by the church the older that he got. You know that song? I don't know if it's in the original play, but that song, Anne Hathaway sings it in the new one, like, you already know what I'm saying, like the I Dreamed a Dream. Heartbreaking, and you just, like, so connect with the grit of sorrow that woman is feeling in that scene. It's heart-wrenching. She's lost everything, and she was in deep suffering. I almost feel like that song is, like, the cry of Victor Hugo himself over the lost love of the church. That I dreamed a dream of time gone by. Church, I think to Victor Hugo and people who maybe feel this way, is an old love that's been lost and is now kind of a noise in the distance. There's actually a quote by Victor Hugo. Didn't realize, by the way, at the beginning of this week that I'd be making quotes from people who were born in the 1800s, but here we go. That his quote says this, and I think it's such a powerful quote, that there's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. Doesn't that like, oh yeah, let's go, right? And it's interesting, when I heard that quote, This week, actually, I was listening to an audiobook completely separate from this, but when I heard that quote, I immediately thought of, like, the good news of Jesus, right? That the good news of Jesus is an idea whose time has come, you know? Like when Jesus stepped out and said, behold, the time has come, repent and believe this good news. That's what the idea of the good news coming really fits, I think, that quote. And in fact, Jesus describes that the church that he would build, that even hell couldn't stop the good news. That the church that Jesus would build with his good news, that nothing could stop it. So why is it that his church, to some, can feel less like the most powerful idea in the world and more like noise in the distance? Maybe we have to ask what's shaping the church. And what should the church look like instead of a musical? There is a church in the first century, if you open up the Bible, that had to wrestle with this same sort of idea. Actually, all of them really did. How to listen to the words of Jesus and how to contrast that with oftentimes the words of culture that are both wanting to shape who we are. So the church in the city of Corinth was having all sorts of issues. This is one of the very first churches within the first 100 years. And they were stuck between following Jesus and listening to the influencers in their culture, which prompted a letter from a guy named Paul, who was actually the church planter. He's like the pastor of this church. And then he established it and moved to other places and started new churches. He wrote this letter to his friends, and that's what we're going to read from today. It's like we're reading somebody else's mail, but it actually really, really applies to us because he's talking to Christians who are trying to figure out how to be shaped into the image of Jesus. And after a brief introduction, this guy named Paul jumps into why he's writing this letter to these people. And it was to help them get back to being centered on Jesus instead of being divided by the noise that was around them. So we'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. So let's read that together. It says this: I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some of you from Chloe's household, that's somebody that was from the church, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas, which is another name for Peter in the New Testament. And still another says, I follow Christ. Next verse. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Those are all obviously rhetorical questions. So Paul is calling out his group of friends, like you guys, because they were quarreling about which leader they liked best, which Paul said was leading to division and unproductive noise to a world that was in need of the good news that the church has. People were focused on so much on the influencers rather than on Jesus, so they were divided over whose voice they would follow. The phrase, I follow, came up 4 different times, and that is what was dividing them. So it isn't hard to see that same sort of thing happening today, right? We're shaped by the influencers around us, and sometimes that leads to quarreling, and sometimes that leads to what Paul suggests as a division. That sort of thing happens with Christians even today. It happens every once in a while today. So it's like, who do you follow on TikTok? Or who do you turn to when something blows up on social media? Or who influences and shapes you? Because somebody is. Something is. We're shaped by other people. And even here in this early church, they had a sort of gravitation towards the leader that they liked or the influencer that fit their style or whatever it is, rather than following Jesus. So Paul continues by helping correct their quarrels in chapter 3. He says this. He kind of keeps going with this idea. What, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. So notice that Paul doesn't say that the influencers are useless, that the people who serve to make the church go have an important role to play as God's co-workers. I think I actually missed that last verse, didn't I? Ha! For we are God's co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. That's a familiar verse around here as we define church as like the people. It's the people here, today, online, but it's also the people when we go. Church is the people. But we can never mistake, it's important to never mistake the position of an influencer, even me as the pastor of this church, as the one that's causing the growth of it. When we get that out of order, which I think so much of our issues can stem from, then you start to see a lot of ugly stuff happen. And that might be what makes the church feel like a musical or noise to some people. Only God can truly change people. And I'm not minimizing the importance of leadership, humble leadership, and people that are willing to serve like you. But that's why understanding who God has revealed himself to be through the Word, through the Bible, is so important. Jesus showed us how to live. Before I move on, I want to ask you this question, though. How are the influencers in your life pointing you towards Jesus? Are your influencers helping Jesus? Or are they positioning themselves to create dependency or gather a following, or even make your own voice God in your own life? I gotta tell you, it's weird for me to maybe be the one saying all this, right? Because I have the microphone. My voice is going through the speakers. God originally gave me this vision that we all ended up sharing, but my goal as pastor is not and never was to grow a brand, to get that purple logo as far and wide as we can. I mean, it's good that people know where to go and that it's a symbol of hope, but it's never been about gaining a large crowd that follows Jordan T. Stonehouse. Because I think that would kind of feel like what Paul was correcting, right? I'm one of you. Matter of fact, we often have other preachers come in and fill in, and I love that. I get to sit out there and we can all remember that this is not the Jordan Stonehouse movement. It's not any one of us. We are a part of something much bigger. But there's moments that I forget that. There's moments that I forget it, but I truly believe that God is the one that helps people grow. And my job is just to point that out as often as I can and invite you to believe in the power of Jesus and to take action to love people out of what Jesus is doing in you. Because let's be honest, this guy really isn't that impressive anyways. Am I right? Amen, amen. Whew. It's the first amen of the talk. Later in this letter that Paul is writing, he gives us a much better version of what church is than just competing to find the coolest leader. Paul talks about the church as like a unified body, that the blood of Jesus connects us in this body. He uses a metaphor of the human body to describe what the church is. He says this in chapter 12 in that same letter. Starting in verse 12, he says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by the same Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, which is a massive statement to say at that time, whether slave or free, also huge. And we were all given the same Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So Paul is describing the church as a group of deeply connected people. It's like a living body made up of all sorts of different people, different personalities, different cultures, different ethnicities, different genders, different abilities and talents, different everything. The church is the people that make up the body of Christ. So that's why you'll hear us talk a lot about like the scattered church, right? Like we're talking about the body of Christ. That's what church is. It's people who are all different, connected through the blood of Jesus to be good news to the world. So if the church really is Jesus extended through us, then the followers of Jesus are everywhere all the time. In verse 7, he says this, but God has put the body together. So this was God's idea, that the church would be like people incarnating their lives wherever they go to be the presence of Jesus, that church is the people scattered and gathered, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. God always like will give dignity to things who have been stripped of it. It's one part that's so amazing about the character of God. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. It's getting good now. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is something. I don't know how that ended. I want to shift focus, if you could put that back up there for one sec, Lauren, on that sentence. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. That has been so clear to me recently. Everything I've been saying is to get to this point right now, because Wyoming Harbor has been having a lot of suffering recently. I don't think that's an exaggeration. One of us found out that our boyfriend's son has cancer. One of us tore our Achilles. One of us went to the hospital for other injuries. Many of us continue to be touched by COVID, and some quite seriously. One of our people totaled their car and is thankful to be alive. One of us got hit in the face by a baseball. And there are others that I know about that I can't talk about from here. And I'm sure there's more stories of pain that you're thinking of that I don't even know about. But it just feels like we've been kind of getting slammed. And it really sucks. It does. But that phrase, when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. I think through each one of these stories and through the story I'm going to share next, we have seen the beautiful expression of what church is. It's not a musical. It's a living, breathing community of people that surround each other. So one of us named Nicole just found out that we have leukemia. It was 2 weeks ago up in the balcony that Nicole came up there, and I thought she was coming up there to be a mentor for one of the other people that were getting baptized. We had 7 people get baptized last Sunday. Can we just clap for that? And she ended up being one of them, and at that point she didn't know, and she would find out 2 days later that she has a mass inside of her chest that is cancerous. And we didn't know if it was what kind of cancer it was, but she decided that this past Sunday, so a couple of days after she learned that she had cancer, that she still wanted to be baptized, even though the day after that, she was going to go into the hospital for them to begin treatment. So Nicole was baptized with her people around her, with her friends and her family, with her missional community. And then Monday came, and her heart flatlined for 2 minutes, and things got serious. I mean, they were serious before, right? But the day after this grand celebration, we learned that our friend's situation is serious. And then people began, and no one else is in that hospital bed. So I'm not even gonna try to say she's suffering, therefore we are equally suffering with her. There's nothing compares to being in that scenario to her and her family. But we are starting to see some amazing things. Can I show you something? This is a video I took of a prayer gathering that we had on Tuesday outside of Nicole's room, looking up at her window. Unmute it, Jim. Since you can't hear it, when one part suffers, every part suffers. When one part is honored, all parts rejoice with it. Can we do and cheer our friend on from here, who's still in the hospital, with a cheer to let her know that we are cheering her on? Ready? Go. I'm going to turn it so she can see you. Nicole, these are your people. And by the end of the week, some of you started to do gift card drives, and people are wanting to enter into that suffering with our friend as best as we're able to. That is so much more than a musical or noise off in the distance. That's the sound of a united body. That's the sound of the body of Christ. That's the power of Jesus in all of us. When one of us hurt, we all hurt. When one celebrates, we all celebrate. The cool thing is Jesus modeled that for us first. He came down. He entered our suffering. He felt our pain and celebrated our value that we were worth dying for. And you know what? I see a lot of people in this scrappy little church that we got that are a lot like Jesus. And I'm really proud to be your pastor. So well done, church. And maybe I'm not doing a great job telling the whole story, because you are coming around the people in this community that are hurting in some beautiful ways, and wanting to extend that beyond the walls, if you will. That's what's so cool, is we want people to have that. That's such a, like, hope is the greatest resource of the church. We don't have that much money to work with, but we got all the hope in the world. And when we show up for each other, like I've been seeing you do, that you can't put a price tag on that. I know, because I'm talking with the father and the family of the people that are receiving it. So thank you. Well done, church. Well done, body of Christ. that's something that, that only God can build and that I really want to continue to be a part of. So things aren't easy right now for a lot of us. But stick in there and stay with each other. Keep having each other's back. And I actually want to invite us into a moment right now where you can bring whatever pain that you're holding during a song that we're going to sing here together, because we serve a God and we believe in a God. We sung it earlier, the Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper. I always like to say it this way, that Jesus is going to return. There's this promise that we have that he is the co-creator with God the Father, and he's going to return and make all things new, that everything that's broken will be healed. That includes stupid cancer and all sorts of abuses that you can't undo. Any pain that you're experiencing, it's so bold to make that claim. But I believe and we believe Jesus will someday make it all new. He's going to heal it all. So my prayer and our prayer is, Lord, give us a preview of that right now. Because he does that sometimes. So let me just pray. Can we pray for our friend Nicole? Can we pray for her family? I just want to invite you to pray where you're sitting right now. You can pray out loud if you want, or you can just pray quietly. To think about the people that you know, yeah, maybe they're connected to this church or not, but the people that in your life that need prayer. Take a moment just to pray and let your prayer rise up. Now for yourselves, my friend, during this next song, if you could stand, let this song be your prayer for the pain that you may be holding in yourself.